So I asked the question, what are some really extreme hardships people are going through right now? Just in general. Divorce. Yep. That number's up. Way up. It's hard. Overwork. Amen. Illnesses. Right. Yeah, whether COVID-19 or and it's the worst, right? If you get something that like gives you a cough or any symptoms, you're like, what is it? What is it? Right? Like you wake up and you're like, I talked yesterday at the training day for several hours. And so I woke up and I'm like, I'm so thirsty. Oh no. Right. I just didn't drink enough yesterday is what the problem is. What else? Yeah. People are really unkind. Yeah. And that's a huge problem. What else? Depression. Yeah. That's hard. I've seen that meme, right, where it has all of these actors who have since gone, and like it says, this is the face of depression, right? And they've got all these smiles on their faces, and they're all happy, and it's like, wow, that's hard. That's hard. Any others that you guys can think of? Financial. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, financial. That's the evergreen extreme problem people have. Let's see, Misty. Hey, Misty, good morning to you and the family. Losing their jobs, losing their businesses. Yeah, like we had a bunch of families like leave the church over the COVID-19 thing because they lost their jobs and they had to find jobs somewhere else and they moved. I think five or six families at last count. Like, it's like, whoa, dude, right? My parents say finding a house. Yes, they've been trying to find a house up here for a while. Visiting people in places, rules and regulations that change. Yep, that is hard. Casey says, what, you have coffee? LOL. Issues people struggle. Yes, we now have coffee. Issues people struggle with, health, finances, relationship, safety. Yeah, all of those things. Those are extreme struggles we all have. Now, get a little more personal. You're not going to answer this online. Don't type anything. And you're not going to raise your hands and answer it out loud. But what are some things in your life that make your life absolutely difficult? Absolutely garbage, if I can use that word in some ways. I'm not saying you're garbage, but sometimes your life feels like garbage, right? Let's get a little more personal. Again, don't answer this out loud. Don't type it online. But what is something that would happen in your life that would stretch your faith so far you would eventually just walk away from God? I mean, I've got things in my life. I know, like if I had this tragedy strike, if I had this happen, it would stretch my faith and it could possibly make me walk away from God because it was so hard. It was so difficult. It made my life so garbage. And if God is truly all powerful and if he's truly all loving and if he really cares about me, then why would he allow me to suffer that way? What? So this is a psychological question for you to answer to yourself between you and God, the Holy Spirit. What would happen in your life that would stretch your faith so far that you would just say, yeah, that's it, I'm done. I'm done, I'm walking away. Because there are things and there are times where our lives feel like absolute garbage. And if you haven't gotten there to a point in your life, you probably will face it where your life, this is difficult. Why is it so hard? And in the midst of that, why bother being faithful to God if he's making my life so difficult? What would happen if I choose to be faithful to God when my life is garbage? What happens to us when we choose to be faithful to God even though our life is difficult, even though our life feels like garbage? As we start a new series, we're going to preach through the book of Daniel. And I'm excited because we're going to end right at the beginning of Advent, and he's talking about the coming Messiah. So I'm not that smart. So like God, the Holy Spirit made that work. Praise be his name. We're in the book of Daniel. So we're going back several thousand years before the New Testament, after the division of Israel and after Israel was pretty much decimated and the southern kingdom of Judah was taken into captivity. And this is the context that we find Daniel chapter 1 starting in. Read along with me. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Joachim of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and laid siege to it. The Lord handed King Jehoiakim of Judah over to him, along with some of the vessels from the house of God. Nebuchadnezzar carried them to the land of Babylon, to the house of his God, and put the vessels in the treasury of his God. So what's hard here is we know from backstory that Judah was being disobedient. Mostly they were, well, they were being unjust to each other, but they were worshiping false gods and idols, and God continually sent them prophets and said, look what happened to the northern kingdom. They're gone. Repent, repent, repent. And they didn't bother repenting. So eventually God allows King Nebuchadnezzar to lay siege to Jerusalem, take them, and bring the southern kingdom of Judah into captivity. Right, and the text is very clear. God allowed it to happen. He even allowed in the temple, he allowed some of the smaller vessels like the lampstands and the cups that were used only for holy use in the temple to worship God. He allowed them to be taken and put into the temple of Marduk in Babylon. It's incredible. God allowed this to happen. So can you imagine if, I know Daniel's not here yet, but can you imagine if you're Daniel? I mean, he just lost his home. He's in exile now. He's probably around 14 years old, and his home is gone. That's incredible. Can you imagine if your home burned down and you didn't have a place to live, or your house was foreclosed on and you had to walk away from a place where you spent, you know, 10, 20 years of your life building a life together? Some of you don't have to imagine that, actually. That's probably happened. It's hard to lose your home. Or you have to move from a community you love to go to somewhere else so you have gainful employment. That's hard. It's really difficult. But, at least you still have family, right? Yeah, you got your family together, right? Like, and usually when that happens, like, man, everyone's safe. They got out of the house. You know, we don't have much, but we have each other. Oh, that's good. It's fantastic. What happens next, though? Verse 3, the king ordered Ashpenaz, that's a great name, Ashpenaz. The king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief eunuch, to bring some of the Israelites from the royal family and from the nobility, young men without any physical defect, good-looking, suitable for instruction in all wisdom, knowledgeable, perceptive, and capable of serving in the king's palace. He was to teach them the Chaldean language and literature. The king assigned them daily provisions from the royal food and from the wine that he drank. They were to be trained for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to attend the king. Among them from the Judites were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief eunuch gave them names. He gave the name Belshazzar to Daniel, Shadrach to Hananiah, Meshach to Mishael, and Abednego to Azariah. So, hey, we still have each other, right? We still have our family. House is burned down. You know, they're now in exile in Babylon. We still have each other, right? No. Like, they get taken from their families. This isn't a hey, you're going to go to school during the day here. No, you're going to live over in this place. You're 14 years old, and your whole life has been turned upside down. Your family's taken away. Their family is taken away. And not only that, but they give them names. Like names based on foreign gods, false gods, idols. I mean, you know, it's like the devastation they must be feeling is the devastation that you know, kids feel when their parents get divorced. You know, and I'm not throwing aspersions to anyone. Like, sometimes that has to happen. But if you were a kid and your parents got divorced, you know how much that hurt and how painful that was. Or even if you're married and your spouse just decides to leave you. I mean, that hurts. It hurts. You're just separated. And then, not only that, but then someone gives you a name. I mean, they give you a new name. I mean, your name is who you are. Right, if somebody starts calling you the wrong name, that's like really weird and awkward, right? But you're like, no, I'm Nathan, not Dave. Sorry, it's your name. It's who you are. You don't change somebody's name. I mean, can you imagine if like now you lose your whole family and you've already lost your home, and then they give you a new name, a nickname that you're supposed to answer to? Hey, Satan's best friend. What? Hey, devil's dude, and that's what they call you. And you're like, no, I don't serve Satan. I don't serve the devil. I serve God. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They're like, nope. From now on, your name is Devil Lover. We'll give you a whole domain, devillover.com. What? I mean, think about how difficult Daniel's life was. Why bother worshiping God? Why being faithful to God when your life is this garbage? And he's suffering for the consequences of other people. He's 14 years old. He's not the reason that God allowed Babylon to take Judah into captivity, right? It's his parents' fault. It's his uncle's fault. It's his grandparents' fault. It's Bob down the street's fault. It's not his fault. He got swept up in it, and now he doesn't even have his family. Why bother being faithful to him in this situation? What happens if we're faithful to God when our life is absolute garbage? Seems like a waste of time. Daniel doesn't have any power. Babylon has all the power. Verse 8, Daniel determined that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine he drank. So he asked permission from the chief eunuch not to defile himself. God had granted Daniel kindness and compassion from the chief eunuch. Yet the eunuch said to Daniel, "I fear my lord the king who assigned your food and drink. What if he sees your face looking thinner than all the other young men your age? Would you endanger my life with the king?" So we don't know exactly why Daniel didn't want to defile himself with the king's food, because we're told that he would eat the king's food and the wine from the king's table. And he didn't want to defile himself with the food and the wine, which makes it strange because there were foods that Jewish people before Jesus came were not allowed to eat, right? Like shellfish, bacon wrapped shellfish, right? Like, we praise Jesus for a lot of reasons. That's a lesser reason, but man, praise Jesus, I can have bacon-wrapped shellfish because of his advent. Don't, no, it's good. Have you tried it? Don't roll your eyes at me, Patty. I'm just kidding. No, it's, but they were not, they to be faithful to God, to be set apart, there were foods they couldn't have. Horse meat, they couldn't have that, right? You could have a burger, you couldn't have a cheeseburger, and so they were supposed to follow. So there's probably some of those foods that were there, and they weren't allowed to have blood, like they couldn't have a rare steak kind of thing. So maybe that was some of the problem. But then the wine, that doesn't make any sense, because throughout the Old Testament, wine is a gift from God. And wine brings gladness to the heart. Drunkenness is always seen as a curse to yourself. But in the Old Testament, wine is a blessing from God, as long as it's not drunk to excess. So why doesn't he want to defile himself? The text doesn't tell us. I think part of it might have been that some of the foods, like, you know, there's pig and pig roast and pork chops and stuff. And I think that was part of it. He didn't want to break the kosher laws. But I think another part of it was probably that earlier on, the king says he's going to succumb and give him his food, daily provisions from the royal food and the wine. The king assigned it. It's not just to, it says to make you strong, to make you good, to make you great is what it says in the Hebrew. And I wonder if either the chief eunuch, Ashpazaz, sounds like a magician's name, or if the king himself did like a little speech to them, and he said, "You guys, we've conquered your people, and look, I'm the great Nebuchadnezzar. I am the one who controls you, and now I am the one who will make you great. I will make you greater than anyone, and you know, unlike your parents and unlike everyone else who's just eating whatever they can find off the streets, you will eat from my table. You'll see how physically strong you can become with my diet. I'm going to teach you my lessons. You'll drink my wine. It's the best wine in all of the Babylonian Empire. I will make you great." And Daniel's over here like, "No. You're not great by following a man. You're great by following the one true God." So I suspect all of those things had something to do with it. And Daniel says, "No. I don't want to defile myself. I'm not going to eat your food and make myself great that way. I am not going to drink the wine and get great that way." Now, see, that's crazy, right? Because if you just had your home burned down, your family leaves you, and your name gets legally changed, and you're like so stressed out, extreme pressure, where can you go to find comfort? What can you do to find a little bit of relief? Food and drink, right? I mean, I know that for a fact. In the last 2 years, the average American has put on 15 to 20 pounds because we've all been stressed out. I was doing really good and then I wasn't. But where do we go for comfort? Man, I'm stressed out. So what do? We eat the food. We go for food. Like, you, after church, go to a fast food place. You're going to sit in line for a half an hour because the line is wrapped around. Every time you go by at 10 o'clock at night, the line is wrapped around the place. We find comfort in food and alcohol, right? North Carolina, during the height of the pandemic, when everything was shut down, the state of North Carolina declared the alcohol shops as essential businesses. We're not getting through this if we don't have a good drink. And Daniel's over here saying, like, the only thing good in his life, bacon wrapped shrimp, hamburgers, right? A nice rare steak. The only good things he has in his life, he says, no. Nope, I'm not gonna defile myself with that. Why? Seems like a waste of time. Him and the other four, or the other three Israelites that are mentioned in this text, they also decide not to follow suit. There's other Israelites, though, if you read the text closely. There's other Hebrew children. There's other Jewish people here who they're like, no. Like, look at this spread, right? Look at the alcohol, right? This is, and we're being told, our parents can't get us in trouble. We're being told this is good. It's a party every night. And they're following suit, except for these four people say, no, we're not going to. It doesn't make sense. Can you imagine what they would say? Oh, you're wasting your time. Verse 11. So first of all, Daniel goes to the eunuch, and the eunuch's like, nope, I'm not going to let you do it because you'll be sick and you're not going to get fit if you eat vegetables. So then Daniel does something gutsy in verse 11. So Daniel said to the guard, whom the chief eunuch has assigned to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then examine our appearance and the appearance of the young men who are eating the king's food, and deal with your servants based on what you see. He agreed with them about this and tested them for 10 days. Like, this doesn't make any sense. First of all, like, you realize Daniel's in exile. So before Daniel was in exile, he was probably like 12 or something when Jerusalem was laid siege. Right, and when they lay siege to your hometown, what they do is they cut off all the supply chain, and then you run out of food, right? So he's like 12 years old and not eating. This isn't like a big chubby kid. He is an exile. He didn't eat well for 2 years. And then he had to march hundreds of miles all the way up to Babylon under duress, right? It wasn't a nice caravan. He had to walk the whole way. They're not feeding him well. Now he's lost all that weight and those calories from all that walking. This is not a big kid. He is a scrawny, puny nothing. And he's saying, we will eat vegetables and dirty water, because all the water back then was dirty. This is not a good idea. Why not find some comfort in food when your life is garbage? Right? In your struggles, in my struggles, why not find my ultimate comfort in food? Why not find some comfort, whatever comfort I can, in wine or whatever alcohol I can find? Why not find comfort in binging TV show after TV show? Why not find comfort in relationship after relationship? Why not find comfort in sex? Why not find comfort in pornography? I mean, it's right there. Just touch it. No one's going to say anything, Daniel. No one's going to question you. You're being asked to do this. You're 14 years old. Your life is garbage. Why not find comfort in just whatever you can get your hands on, because you've lost everything and now you're trying to hold on to God? It's just a waste of time. And you're going to eat vegetables? What will happen if you choose to be faithful to God even when your life is garbage? So they eat vegetables and dirty water for 10 days. Verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked better and healthier than all the young men who were eating the king's food. So the guard continued to remove their food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. What? Like, this is incredible. Like, you realize, again, emaciated 14-year-old kid. When I was a kid, and my mom, who's online, can attest to this, so you can go back and watch the video. Mom, do a thumbs up or something. When I was a kid, I was grossly underweight, and so bad so I was getting these migraines, like, because my body was like eating itself because I had like no body fat. Things have changed. But it was so bad that we went to a nutritionist, and guess what the nutritionist said? The nutritionist said, in order for him to put up some body weight, she prescribed me to eat protein and fat, right? And I remember my mom with a scale. She would like weigh it out, like, you have to minimally eat this. And I was like, I can't, I'm too small. And right, like it was a fight all the time, but it was like protein and fat. That's what this kid needs, like, so that he doesn't have these like soul-shaking migraines at all times. Protein and fat. If the nutritionist had said, yeah, just give him some vegetables and water, you know what would have happened? I probably would have died. Right. Nobody gets fat on vegetables, right? Nobody gets fat on vegetables. You're like, wow, you know, like, man, you've been eating the broccoli, haven't you, buddy? Right? No, that doesn't happen. We don't get fat on vegetables. This is a miracle. God came through. Daniel says, I'm going to honor God. So I've seen over the course of years in Christianity, they're like, oh, I'm on the Daniel diet. You know, like, no, this is not a prescription for a diet. There's a miracle here. In fact, in the original Hebrew, it doesn't say, as it says in our translation, it doesn't say at the end of the 10 days, they looked better and healthier. In fact, most of you have a footnote there, and the footnote says, literally fatter of flesh. Nobody gets fat on vegetables. They don't. And yet God allowed them to because of his faithfulness. What will happen if we choose to be faithful to God even when our life feels like garbage? After these 4 years, verse 17, God gave these four young men knowledge and understanding in every kind of literature and wisdom. Daniel also understood visions and dreams of every kind. At the end of the time, so it's 3 years, that the king had said to present them, the chief eunuch presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among all of them, no one was found equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they began to attend the king in every matter of wisdom and understanding that the king consulted them about. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and mediums in his entire kingdom. If we choose to be faithful to God, even when life is garbage, on the other side of it, God will give us incredible abilities. In this case, he gave them insight and wisdom and knowledge that others didn't have, so much so it was 10 times more. I don't know what it's going to look like for you and me. It's probably going to be situationally based. And God, the Holy Spirit, he's going to do what he's going to do. And he's going to say, you're in this life of pain right now, and I'm bringing you over here, and I will bless you if you are faithful to me. Maybe you'll have more insight in wisdom than other people do. Maybe you'll have better discernment about the times. Maybe you'll have better compassion. Maybe you'll have better love. Maybe you'll have more joy that other people don't have. But he will give us supernatural abilities beyond what we would ever be able to find on our own, whatever we'd be able to build on our own, whatever we'd be able to learn on our own or read enough books. He will give you those abilities that stretch beyond anything else anyone can see. And they're going to look at you and go, how are you so smart? How are you so wise? How are you so understanding of the times? How do you care so much? How can you love people so much? How can you have so much compassion? How do you have so much energy to do all of these things? And it came from the hand of God. Because when your life was miserable, instead of walking away, which is the easy, normal thing to do, you said, I'm going to be faithful to God. He'll see me through this. And God also blessed Daniel with long life. Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So he serves in the court, even during extreme regime changes, for 70 years as an old man, which is incredible because, you know, life expectancy back here was like, you know, 30 or 40, especially for refugees and exiles. He gets to live well into his 80s, early 90s. If we choose to be faithful to God, even through life's difficulties, even when it feels like our life is garbage and worthless, and what are you doing, God? He will give us incredible abilities on the other side. I've been following over the last, I don't know, 5 years or so, there's this movement that I've noticed online. I have some acquaintances that are involved with it. It's called deconstruction, right? Deconstruction. I don't know if you guys have heard of it, right? It's like people who are brought up in the church, and then they reach a point in their lives, and they say, no, I don't believe this. But then they have to kind of deconstruct everything because their whole life is wrapped up in the church and the Bible and Christianity. So they have to like go through and like essentially rethink through every one of their assumptions, and they deconstruct. There's a podcast of an acquaintance I have, a friend of a friend that I listen to every so often, and I force myself to listen to it because I want to know, you know, what's going on with people. It's hard and heartbreaking, and I've watched videos of people's testimonies about walking away from the Christian faith and deconstructing. And what's hard is most of the people that I listen to, what happened is there was some sort of abuse or some sort of hurt that happened within the church, which is what led them to walk away. Some of their abuse or some of their hurt is just, you know, kind of petty, like, oh man, he forgot to call me back, and so there is no God because the youth pastor didn't call me back, right? And it's like, oh, dude, really? But some of it is really serious, you know, where the church actually caused harm to a person, right? And it's tragic listening to the stories because as I'm listening to them, they walked away, and almost all of them are incredibly angry, like just angry people in general. I don't fault anyone, as especially if they've experienced extreme abuse from the church, to walk away from their faith. I can't fault them. I can't judge them. That goes back to the question I asked you at the beginning: What would happen in your life to stretch your faith so far that you just walk away from God? But contrast our deconstructing friends with our friends who chose to be faithful. I mean, think about the most godly people you know. Think about them. Think about the most godly people you've known in your life. I guarantee you, those prayer warriors that you know, those people who have incredible faith in the midst of hardships, those people who are like a solid rock while they're just, everything's falling around them and they're just walking like it's a bright sunny day. Like those people, I guarantee you they have extreme pain in their past. I guarantee you they went through so many trials and so many tribulations, and yet something within them, God the Holy Spirit, stirred within them and said, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, even though it hurts, even though my family says walk away, even though it'd be the easiest thing to take myself away and to find comfort in anything else, in everything else. But I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to be faithful to Jesus. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to fill me and allow me to direct it. And even if I don't feel it, and even if it hurts, I'm going to be faithful to Him. And on the other side of that, they are the most godly people you know. Some of them are in this room right now. Some of them have gone on to glory to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of them are in other states, but they went through pain. I am convinced that God uses pain, He uses anguish, He uses difficulty in order to make us into the people that He desires us to be. He makes great leaders through that pain. He makes great Christians through that pain. Because on the other side of it, they have skills and abilities and wisdom and insight unlike anyone else. You'll never find them because it's a supernatural gift. What are some extreme difficulties you are going through right now? If you find yourself in misery, if you find yourself saying, yeah, this part of my life is garbage, if it's today or if it's 10 years from now, be faithful. Be faithful to Christ. He will see you through this to the other side. And on the other side, there's abilities you never knew you had because you didn't have them, because they're given to you by God the Holy Spirit. In your life, when life feels terribly difficult, choose to be faithful to God because He will give you incredible abilities on the other side. Only God can make you fat on vegetables. Let's pray. Father, as we're about to take the Lord's Supper together, I pray first of all for people who are going through difficulties right now, whose lives are so hard. I pray, Lord, that they will look at Daniel's difficulties, and they were extreme. Some of the people in this room have extreme difficulties. I pray that you will help them to be faithful like Daniel was faithful and say, I am not going to be made great by a king. I'm not going to be made great by a human leader. I'm not going to be made great by my own ability. I want to be made great by the one true God. Father, us as New Testament believers, help us to be made great by following the name of Jesus, by trusting in our Lord. And as we do that, God, the Holy Spirit will change us and transform us and give us those gifts of the Spirit that we're never there in the first place, but you desire to give us, and you give us through the pain, you give us through the turmoil, you give us through the difficulty. Father, I pray for those that are here that their lives are good, they're content. I pray that you will help them to be faithful even when life is great. And Father, I pray that as we are about to take the Lord's Supper together, that this will be a time that we recall your words from your scripture, that even if we are faithless, you prove to be faithful. We recall the prayer in the Gospels, I want to believe, help me in my unbelief. I pray as we reflect on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ's death on a cross for our sins, and his resurrection, that you will help us to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit so that we will fulfill your desires, your will, not our own, and that you will give us faith even when we have none. You will help us to be faithful even when we are faithless. Change us and transform us. Help us to be like Daniel. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit to do this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.